This is a psalm of God's sovereignty, showing God is sovereign and how He's to be worshipped and how He's to be praised. It says there that verse 2 that He is a great King over all the earth, not over just a little of it, not over just here our part of it, but over all the earth. And I tell you, down in verse 7, it says that again. For God is the King of all the earth. You see, God's the Creator. He's Lord of all the earth. God said He Himself, you know, He said, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. This belongs to Him. He just lets us live on it for a little while. Gives us an appointed part in it. Gives us a little place to live for a while. But He's the Creator and Lord of all the earth. And all men, since He's the Creator, all men, since He's the one that gives us our life, our moving, our being, gives us our very being, gives us every breath, all men everywhere owes Him their faith and their obedience. They owe it to Him. They ought to gladly give it. They ought to thankfully give it. They ought to every day, get up and say, I bless God that made me. I'm going to do by His grace the will of His who made me and gives me my very life and being. You see, when we say sovereign, that means He's the supreme. He's the supreme being of the whole universe. The universe, beloved, and the universe is in Him. All things that are in God. And He has all authority over heaven and earth. And I tell you, the Scriptures tells us without a shadow of a doubt that He does according to His will. His will. In the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay His hand or say unto Him, what Thou doest. And I tell you, beloved, look over here in Psalm. I'll just show you something. It says, oh, for the Lord Most High. That's why we start in verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great King over all the earth. And that means that He's King over everything. Look with me over in Psalm 135. Look at here in Psalm 135. Quote this Scripture so many times, but look at it. Talking about God being sovereign. 135 and verse 6. And verse 5 says, for I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in the earth and in the seas and all deep places. You reckon that covers it all, don't it? That covers it all. Let me show you another one over here in 1 Samuel 2, talking about God. He's the one, He's a sovereign. Everything that we have, everything that somebody has, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Everything that this world, and folks just don't like the idea of God being sovereign, God having control. He's the one that gives life. Everything that happens in this world, it's ordained and decreed by God Himself. And there's no doubt about it. He's the King, the great King over all the earth. And we'll see some other things about Him. And it said here down in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 2:6. The Lord killeth. He may use a second cause, but this thing of life and death is of the Lord. You reckon we're here because God willed us to be here? He has appointed our days. He said the sparrows are sold for two far, and you're worth more than all the sparrows in the world. Talking about His people. He said, I take such minute care of you and watch over you in such a way that I number the hairs of your head. I've got you. And I pay close attention to you. And then he goes, listen, the Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. He's the one that brings life into this world. He's the one that quickens the dead in trespasses and sins and gives them life. He bringeth down to the grave. And he brings up from the grave. One of these days, he said, we'll turn around and we'll say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? And then he goes, the Lord makes poor. That's one thing the government's always done. People say, well, we got to help the poor, we got to help the poor, we got to help the poor. I tell you, the government's one's making them poor. They don't have to do anything. Listen, God, our Lord said you'll always have the poor with him. The Scripture says the Lord maketh poor. The slumber, he just slumbers on the bed, he turns over one side and turns over again and says, well, it might blow today, I ain't gonna sow nothing. Might rain tomorrow, ain't no sense plow nothing. And that's what they do. But look what he says. And he maketh rich. If you got anything, God made you that way. And he brings low and he lifts up. The Lord does all that. The Lord does all that. Let me show you another one in Deuteronomy. I'm establishing here that God is sovereign. And I know you know that. And I know you believe it. Look in Deuteronomy 32:39. Oh, look what he says about himself. He's the great king over all the earth. He said, I create evil and I create good. I create light and I create darkness. They say he created evil. He creates what men call evil. And don't go well with somebody. Don't sit well with them. He says, now look here in verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he. And there's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. I don't want to be delivered out of it. I want to stay right there. Stay right there. Now look back over at our text. And it says here, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. Let me tell you something about kings. Kings, now there's no kings the way they are today, but kings rule by royal proclamation. They don't call their subjects around and say, well, what do you want me to rule today? How do you want me to rule today? You want me to rule this way, that way, and another way? The kings ruled by royal proclamation. They made a decree. They made a proclamation. And they sent heralds out to tell everybody in the kingdom what the king's will was, what the king's decision was, what the king said to do. And that's why Herod sent, when our Lord Jesus Christ was born, he sent out, Herod did, everybody got to come to where they was born at so they could be taxed. And that's why they went back to Bethlehem so Christ would be born in Bethlehem. He sent a decree out. Everybody's got to be here to be taxed. And so you see, kings rule by royal proclamation. And you think God's going to stop for one minute and ask counsel of anybody how he's going to run his world, how he's going to run our lives? Ever has it ever entered your mind since you've known God that you would say, Lord, I would rather if I had my brothers, I'd rather you do this for me and do that for me and work this way and that way. Would you dare question God and tell him how you want him to order your life? Oh no, you wouldn't think about it. But look what else he is. Not only is he the king, but he's sovereign in judgment. Look in verse 3. He shall subdue the people under us and nations under our feet. Now he's talking about Israel here. And all the people, all the enemies of Israel, and all of our enemies. It says here, he subdued the people under us. All the nations, all the enemies. Everybody that was against Israel, everybody that's against the Lord's people. He subdues them under us. Every one of them will. Then he says, the nations under our feet. And I tell you, I was reading a thing today that a man started in 1934, and he didn't finish until about 1950, 50s or maybe around late 50s or something on the history of the world. And he come to this conclusion that 34 nations that were powerful, powerful nations at one time ceased to exist and have no... You can take Babylon, Great Babylon. And he says he prays nations of God. Babylon is a desert right now. Syria, where that God slayed 85,000 Syrian soldiers in one night. 85,000 in one night by an angel. You can't even find out where the Assyrian army was. And you can go all the way, Greek, Rome, all of them. And he said he subdued nations. And one of these days, if the Lord tarries, he's coming, they're going to say, wasn't there a place called America once? Wasn't there a place where they had religious freedoms and freedom of the press and they just slept until one day they woke up and America was gone and somebody else from some other country took over? And that's what's going to happen one of these days. But God's sovereign in judgment, and His judgment, when He makes His judgment, just stand back because it's going to happen. God may make a judgment that it'll take 100 years for that judgment to come to pass. Just because God don't make it happen because something happened today, that don't mean the judgment of God is not coming to pass. Ain't that right? He made this judgment 435 years. He told Abraham, he said, your children are going to serve another country and serve another master for 435 years. And then I'll go get them. And 435 years passed before God done anything. You know how many generations pass away in 435 years? And God's judgment, it's obvious that His judgment's going to be done. And I bless His name. I bless His name that as far as judgment for me goes and for you goes, who are in Christ, we'll never face the judgment. Our nation may face judgment, and we may suffer in the judgment of a nation. We may suffer in the judgment of our politicians. We may suffer judgment economically, but we'll never suffer judgment from the hand of God for our sins. When the country suffers, its subjects suffer. Is that not right? And oh, look what else. Not only is He sovereign in judgment, look here, He's sovereign in His sovereign grace. Look here in verse 4. Oh, I love this right here. Brad brought such an outstanding message on God chose us. He said, He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. He's sovereign in judgment. But then turn the other side around. Well, listen to this. He shall choose our inheritance for us. Oh, my. God chose our inheritance. And you know what our inheritance is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's His righteousness. It's His health. It's His salvation. And we have an inheritance incorruptible that don't never fade away, reserved for us in heaven. Oh, listen, we have, He said He chose our inheritance. He chose us in Christ and Christ to be our inheritance and us to be inherited of Christ. And oh, listen to what it says here also. And He chose our inheritance for us for the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. What makes Jacob excellent? He called him one place a worm, called him another place a supplanter. And here He calls him Jacob, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. Oh, they say, well, when Jacob, you know, he just loved. And it right when it says, you know, that Jacob loved God before either children were born, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but him that calleth, that the purpose of God might stand according to election. They said, Jacob have a loved and Esau have a hated. People want to try their best to say that just means he liked him less. If words mean anything, it means that God hated him. And not only that, but you know, say, God don't have anything to hate. He does. He said he hates the workers of iniquity every day. And I tell you, you know, God cannot love righteousness without hating sin. He can't love light without despising darkness. You see, whatever God is and everything that's opposed to Him, God has to be against Him. And oh, that's what He is. And oh, He chose us. Salvation's of the Lord. And you know where election starts? It starts in predestination. You know that? Election starts in predestination. God, whom He foreknew, had an intimate acquainted with, an intimate knowledge with. He said, whom He foreknew, them He also did what? Predestinate. Predestinated to what? To be called. And not only called, to be justified. And then to be glorified. And no wonder Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now you know why you're called? God foreknew you. God chose your inheritance. He chose your salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. And He chose us and He loved us just like He loved Jacob. Oh, listen. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us to what? The adoption of children. Why did He do that? To the praise of the glory of His grace. Why would He have made us accepted in the Beloved? Oh, listen. Let me tell you something about God. Look down at verse 5 now. We see He's sovereign. He's God. He's the great King over all the earth. He went up and listen. And He said in verse 5, and He's worthy of our praise. Look what He says. God is going up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. God going up with a shout. Went up with the sound of this. You know, and the way He's going to come, the Lord Jesus said He's going to come back the same way. When the Lord shall descend with a shout. And He went up with a shout. And oh, beloved, He went up with the sound of a trumpet. Oh, they made music to Him as He went up. And He's worthy of our praise. Oh, He's gone up with a shout. Oh, when He ascended into glory, when our Lord Jesus Christ ascended His throne, received back into glory, you know that the saints of God, you know that the angels of God, all the elect angels, they began to rejoice. And I tell you what, beloved, He went up with the sound of a trumpet. Went up with sound of a music. And I went up with all the pomp and that a king ought to go up with. And maybe Psalm 47 gives us five descriptions of praise to God. Five descriptions that chose us to praise God. First of all, you do it with being full of joy and being exuberant. Look what He says there in verse 1. He said, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Just clap your hands. All ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. Oh, victory, oh, victory, oh, victory in Jesus. And I tell you, He should go shout unto God with the voice of a triumph. And there's, God always makes us to triumph in Christ. Do you never, ever lose? When we're in public, now what you are at home privately and what you feel privately and what you feel in laying in your bed at night or what you go through in your mind and what you go through, I know God help you. But when we're in public, and if we do this more at home, if we would shout unto God with a triumph, He hath saved us, He hath caused us to triumph, we are never, ever defeated. Never defeated. We don't say the devil's got power over us. We don't say the flesh has power over us. There's nothing has power. God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And when we're in public, we ought to always act like we're just fixing to fly away. Don't you think we ought to act that way? And we'd do a heap sight better if we'd done that privately too. Oh my. And I tell you, our Lord, when He went up with a shout, He's going to return with a shout, the sound of a trumpet too. And then not only is worship joyful, but it's reverent. Look what He says there in verse 2, "For the Lord Most High is terrible." Oh, terrible. You know what that word terrible means? That means that you just stand in awe of Him. Have a reverence from Him. Have an awe filled with Him. Oh, He's to be worshipped for joy, yes, but also reverence and filled with awe. Look over here in Psalm 2 with me just a moment. 2 and verse 11. I think I put it in the bulletin a few weeks ago. Daniel Parks down there where he's at in the St. Croix, he called the library to check on something in the library. And he was talking to the librarian and he called her Miss or Missy. She said, "I'm Reverend. I'm Mrs. Reverend So-and-so." He just kept telling her, calling her Miss. She said, "I'm Reverend." She's a preacher. "I'm Reverend." 5 times she said, "I'm Reverend." Didn't want to be called Mrs., didn't want to be called librarian. And he finally told us that there's only one reverend in this world, and that's God Himself. And he hung up on her. I wouldn't go to that library and do nothing. Would you walk in there and say, "I hear there's a worm in here calling herself reverend. A maggot, a grasshopper. There's only a holy and reverent is His name." And I tell you what, I don't know if y'all remember this or not. Years and years and years and years ago, down at the old building, Jack Shanks came down here to preach one time. And he preached out of Nahum, "And the Lord is good and has His way in the whirlwind." And he preached God in such a way, so high and so terrible in judgments, so terrible in His sovereignty, and so good, and that I'm telling you what, when he got through, nobody in that building made a move. It felt like God Himself was right there. And you could feel that, almost feel His presence in an unbelievable way. I don't know if y'all remember, but I remember it. It was something. And I've been in a service or two like that. In a service one day, Brother Henry was preaching over in Cherokee, and oh, he preached God in such a way, and me so low, and man so low, and God so high that I wanted to get under the bench. God was so high and holy, I wanted to hide. And oh my. And that's what he said. You know, He is reverent and awful. Look what he said here in verse 11 of Psalm chapter 2, of the second Psalm. "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Rejoice with trembling. Oh my. And then let me go back over here. So worship, you know, be joyful, clap your hands, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And worship is joyful. And then worship with music. Look what he said in verse 6. "Sing praises to God, sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises." Sing praises. What are we going to sing today? Well, whatever it is, we're going to praise the Lord with it. And our music, and oh, our music must always go along with our message, always go along with what the Bible teaches. Must always do that. And all sing praises. And God gave us a song to sing. Sing praises unto God for His glory. Sing praises unto God for His grace. Sing praises unto God for His forgiveness. Sing praises unto God for His goodness. Sing praise unto God for His holiness. Sing praise unto God for His long-suffering. Sing praise unto God for His patience. Sang praise unto God for His keeping power. Sang praise unto God for a thousand things. Oh, I'll tell you, this makes me feel good to see people that you think that's really, really weak, and God comes and gives them strength. Oh, we say, God, we're going to sing a song to You for Your sovereign mercy. We're going to sing a song unto You because You loved us and called us with a holy calling before the foundation of the world. We're going to sing praises unto You, Lord, because You gave us a place to live. You gave us the gospel. You gave us everything we have and everything we know You taught us. Oh, my. Thank You. We sing praises that, Lord, we can hear the gospel and know the joyful sound when we hear it. Oh, God gave us a song to sing. And then look what else He says. Not only worship joyfully, worship with reverence and worship with music and praises, but worship thoughtfully. Look what it says in verse 7. For the God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises, listen to this, with understanding. With understanding. We're not going to get up and sing some songs that ain't going to honor God. You know, you can't worship God. You can't sing the right songs unto God if you don't have the right knowledge of Him. Is that not right? That's why they sang songs like Build My Corner, My Cabin Next to, in the corner of Glory Land. That's why they say, you know, Lord, lift me up and put me on higher ground. That's why they sang these old sorry songs, you know, Build My Mansion Next Door to Jesus. Because they don't have no understanding. They don't have no understanding at all about God. So if we're going to sing praises and we're going to worship God, we got to worship with some understanding. Understanding who God is. Understanding who we are. And that's why I said, let's not enter into His presence with the thanksgiving and thoughts of a fool. Be swift to speak and slow to speak and swift to hear. And oh, that's why, Lord, you know that woman at the well. She said, our fathers worshipped here in this mountain. And You say Jerusalem's where everybody's supposed to worship. Our Lord says, time's coming when you're going to worship here on this mountain, and that time's coming, they ain't going to worship in Jerusalem either. You're going to worship God in spirit. You're going to worship Him in truth. For the Father's going to seek you out, He's going to teach you, and He's going to make you understand, then that you're going to worship in spirit and you're going to worship in truth. You can't worship Him any other way. And oh my. She said, I understand that when the Messiah comes, He's going to tell us everything. Just like what you said. She said, I am. And oh, listen, and worship and praise is to be universal. Look what He said here in verse 9. The princes of the people are gathered together. It says in the margin, or voluntary of the people are gathered under the people of the God of Abraham. All the people that was with Abraham and the people of the God of Abraham, they all gathered together to do what? To worship God. To praise God who sits upon the throne of His holiness. And I tell you, worship and praise universal. The princes of the people, they got with the people of Abraham and God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and God of Jesus. And no Abraham, God of Abraham. The God who came to Abraham, called him out of the Ur of Chaldees, called him from his idolatry, called him into a land that he said he never owned a foot of it, dwelt as strangers and pilgrims. And then He gave him a promise. He said, I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to give you a son. He said, and in that seed, you'll make you the father of many nations. There'll be people that'll call you their father from the heavens and on the ground of the sea. And he said, how can that be? He said, I don't have no children. And he had a son, supernatural birth, promised child. And through that seed, the Lord Jesus Christ came. And Abraham now is a father of many nations. Father of Ishmaelites, Arabs, father of the Jews, and father of all who believe. We walk in the footsteps of our father Abraham. And then look what is said here, last of all. He is greatly exalted. He is greatly exalted. Can we exalt and praise God enough? Can we exalt Him high enough? Look in Revelation 11 with me just a minute. Can we exalt God enough? Can we preach Him high enough? And we exalt Him. And you know, if we exalt Him, if we exalt Him in our thoughts, exalt Him in our prayers, if we exalt Him in our lives, exalt Him in our words, exalt Him in our worship, it's because He worked that in us to do it. Greatly exalted. Look in Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, you're talking about greatly exalted, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That's greatly exalted, ain't it? That's what you call greatly exalted. Oh my. Oh, I love the gospel. Love God and His sovereignty. Let's bow our hearts together. Our gracious, gracious Father. Oh, great and glorious God. You said you're the great I Am. And You kill and make alive. You make poor and You make rich. You bring down to the grave, You raise up from the grave. And Lord, there's none that can deliver out of Your hand. And we're certainly bless Your holy name that You have put us in Your hand. We're in the hands of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the hands of God our Father. And Lord, help us all in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our homes, in our words, in our prayers, to exalt You and magnify You and always speak highly, highly of You. Never belittle You. Never bring You down to any way like unto a man in any way. Never attribute anything to You that's not God-like and Christ-like and sovereign in His power and glory. God, as these dear saints have gathered here, they've worked hard today. They've had a full day, and I know they're tired. And I pray that You, and I thank You for them coming out, and I pray You'd strengthen them in their bodies, bless them in their homes, bless them in their going out and their coming in, and their getting up and their going down. Lord, we're Your children, and we look to You for everything. We bless You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. 5:49, I think that's what I want. I think that's what I want. Is that to God be the glory? 4:49. Ain't no 5:49. Yeah. I went off by 100. It wasn't even 559 or something. Oh, ain't you grateful, God? God.